chapter. I like to share my testimony with you today. Actually, my family background is Roman Catholic. So normally we used to go to church and attend masses and pray in the church. But I never tried to learn the real word of Bible interpretation. It was very difficult for me to read each and everything in the Bible. And then I did not realize that I was deceived with their denomination. So it was okay. I'm happy with my life, and I believe that I believed in God, and I was a good Christian on that time. Because they made me happy with my life. Whatever I did, it was okay, and I'm happy with God. I read Bible and prayed to God every day. So I'm okay with that. But I never know the true interpretation of the Bible. So it was very difficult for me. Then I said, what is there to learn each and every day and pray to God? Nothing is there to do. Just I will read and I will pray. That's all. So I felt something is wrong in that. Then I don't know what was going wrong. So then after my wedding, my husband told me about this fellowship, and he told few things about the Bible and about the words of God. But I'm not convinced with that actually first. Then I came to this fellowship, and I read. I'm interested to read the Bible related with these books. I came to understand each and everything. And I'm very much upset that I was very much upset because for the past 25 years I was dumped with this religious tradition. I did not came to know the true value of the Bible. So then I realized that God has given me a right way to start my journey. So I was very thankful to God that something is going to happen and I'm getting changed because of this. Because of these words in the Bible. So it's very helpful to me, and I know that it's really difficult in this world to sustain as a good Christian, but anyway, these the God words and the people around me will guide me. So I'm really happy with that, and it's a very important day today because I'm going to get baptized today, and I really thank God that He showed me a right way. And I'm happy with that. So, everyone, please pray for my life with the glory of name of God Jesus. And thank you for everyone.
Oh, gracious Father in heaven, mighty God, wonderful Savior, we thank you for grace today, Lord. For this privilege to be able to gather in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to fellowship and to worship thy great name and to hear thy word, Father. Even as we have this privilege right here at this time, we do remember, Father, those in countries, Lord, that have put a squeeze, Father, upon Christians, that they even find a heart to come to a place to fellowship without being persecuted, without being attacked and terrorized. But Father, Lord, we commit them to your hand, to Lord, that you bless them and watch over them. We know, Lord, you will be gracious to those that you will be gracious to, Father. Not only to you, Father, are those that are yours, those that are your children that are scattered out throughout this world. And we commit them to you, Father. We know the time is short, and the things that are happening in this world now, Father, are signs, Lord. Rocking and rolling to the gate. They are culminations in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to take a people for His name. We know, Lord, this is the hour that we live in. The end is near, we know. So keep us, Father. And wake up the slumbering saints, Lord. They have been walking their own willful ways. Who have been, Lord, felt frustrated, perhaps, Lord, things in their life, the problem they face, Lord, each and passing day, and whatever else, oh Lord, that human emotions, oh Lord, get stirred up with. But you have said, Lord, that you have given us the Spirit of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Oh, that we, that the Spirit will lead us into all truth and bring things to our remembering, things to come, and show us all that. The purpose, Father, that your word may be made known to us, that the strength of the Lord will be granted to us. For the joy of our Lord is our strength, and that strength, Father, is found in the word, in the eating of thy word. And may that we grow thereby and become overcomers, Lord. So we are thankful, Father, for this grace. Grant us that grace, Lord, and the faith be increased each and every passing day. Now as we gather, Father, at thy feet, we pray that you grant us for the understanding now. As we see the day gets closer to the hearing of the voices of the thunders, Lord. We ask for your blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I finish with the understanding of the numeral number 7. Why, when the Bible said 7, we want to know that it is not just symbolic of perfection. Because if it is just symbolic of perfection, the book of Revelation would not have all these 7 appearances. But 7 itself also denotes quantity. Not just quality, in fact, of that number 7 represents perfection. We know it is number of perfection. But when the Bible says 7 churches, it means there are 7. And the Bible says 7 trumpets, that means there must be 7. And yet we know that it is to be true because each church of those 7, each of them is different. And when we look at the trumpet, when the trumpet is sung, and we know that it proclaims something different from the other trumpets. So the same thing with the vials when it's poured out. You see. So when we look at that, we understand. So when we come to the Lamb with the 7 eyes and 7 horns, we say, well, there's only one Lamb, but there are 7 eyes and 7 horns. Yeah, but those 7 eyes represent the all-seeing eyes of God, which are the 7 spirits, as the Bible we read over in the book of Zechariah. The stone that have 7 eyes. You know. So, 7 will culminate into one place. The 7 churches will end in one place. All the vows will come all in one place. Everything will come at the end. And that perfection is in Christ Jesus. The Word. You see. So, when we look and understand that, the reason why I want to make you to understand this is, whether it makes sense to us in this last day, when we come to looking at what the rapture is and how it's going to happen. If we don't understand this, then it will just lead it to the wind to blow however which direction it may blow. As the denomination will say, it can happen any time, morning, noon, or night. And everyone that believes in Jesus will just poof and they'll go out. You know. And then we have others that believe in this and that, and we have Brahmanite who believe in something different. And you have the seven virtue people who believe that your seven virtues must thunder forth. Your brotherly kindness, your patience, your faith, and so on. If you don't thunder that forth, that means you will not get into the rapture. So they have their view on that. And others said that seven thunder has already been revealed. Has already uttered their voices, and that is when the seals were revealed by Brother Branham. So it's all over. And yet, if you look closer, it doesn't make sense. And others said that seven thunders are the seven voices of the Spirit that are sounding forth now through the fivefold ministry. Yet that doesn't make sense either. The fivefold ministry are fivefold ministry, they are distinct. The seven thunders are seven voices that give utterances. And there are seven voices, and they all have, each have uttered something. That means there are seven. So, what are we looking at now? So now, I want to show you this chart here. Because over the years, I have preach the different sermons, different messages. And in preaching these different messages, you know, I don't know how this whole thing works out. And I even sometimes, you know, have sat down and I wonder about the way that God's Spirit operates. Huh? When I stopped preaching in those early days, one message after another, and after all these years, I began to see it dovetail together as a piece of puzzle picture. You know. And then the more I look at it, I say, hey, the whole picture is there in the Bible. That's the reason why I say one thing is, if the word is true, it must bring forth consistency. 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 It must be the word. It must be the word. It must be the word. Years ago, I preached one sermon and said, why it must be the word? You know. I remember those days back when I was living in the village. After marriage, we lived in the village in Bukit Timah area. And as I told you this, before one night, I don't know how strangely enough, I don't know how these two men from New Zealand was able to find me out there in that Bukit Timah district in the village. And they came in the night, in the evening, I think around about 8 o'clock. So we sat down and we talked, and they have beard. And they came and told us, sit down with these guys, and they said they are followers of Master Brother Branham. And then and we discussed a little bit, and then they pop up a question. Said, Brother Gann, you should have a beard. You should keep a beard. Now that kind of strange about these things, you know. I said, what do I need to keep a beard? He said, men should have a beard to look manly, and in the Old Testament, the prophets and they all have beards. I said, how do you know that? He said, well, it must be a fact. Well, I said, what do you mean by a fact? So I said, what if I don't keep a beard? Hey, you say you don't look what you should be as a man. He said, can you prove for me from the Bible? He said, no, it's a revelation. Okay, it's a revelation. It's a revelation based on what? Huh? And how should I keep my beard in the first place? The one that bushy that look like a Taliban? Or the one that look like a Robin Hood? Or what? Or just a mustache and a jungle, you know. They have all the imagination. And then they just smile and brush aside. And then he even tried to prove to me. He said, no, brother, again, brother. He said, problem, I drink distilled water. I said, I know you drink distilled water, but he doesn't drink distilled water all the time. But you know, that's the way people are trying to get a revelation out of nothing. You know. You know what I'm saying? You can take a whole map of the whole universe out there, you know, taken by the Hubble telescope. And he first took a pin and pointed at it. You are here. It's a revelation. We are here. What is that? You know, that's important. That's why it says everything must be based on the Word of God. Revelation must be revealed by the Word of God. So let us look at this chart and see how the various messages that you have been taught all these years, whether it makes sense to you. Alright. Now when you look at this chart here, I put it down here, the final events in the parousia of Christ. Harmonizing Matthew 25, 1 to 13, Thessalonians 4, 16 to 17, with Revelation 3, 14 to 22, and chapter 4 and verse 1, and as well as Revelation 10, plus the former and latter rain from the book of Joel, chapter 2, verse 23, and James 5, 7. Now, in this, these are the final events that in the parousia of Christ. I put all this together. Now, I already taught you about the parousia of the groom coming from the groom's home. Alright. How that the message was sent forth. And the word was sent forth by the messenger. Behold, the bridegroom cometh, come out to meet him. Now, in any event that you know in the marriage of the Oriental, okay, they always have a procession. The bridegroom start from his home with a procession, and the messenger will go in front of him to herald the way, okay, to prepare the way. So they leave from his village to their village of the bride to marry her. So now the messenger was sent for first, as you can see. Behold, the bridegroom cometh, come out to meet him. And of course, there is always musician playing and all that. And this is especially true in Asian country, many Asian country. Here you can see, in Singapore you can see, or Malaysia you can see, Indonesia you can see, the Basandong. Is that right? You remember? Have you seen it? Yeah, it's still here, only in a modern way. Okay, in China you see that also. The groom sit in a sedan chair. And then you have the beep, 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 boom, dong, dong, chang, dong, dong, chang. You know what? Is that right? You know that, don't you? Yeah? And so on and so forth. So, these are the oriented concept. So the bridegroom comes, and the messenger comes first to herald the way. And you know, with the church system, yeah, you get aside the church system. And he came to call out the bride, to come out of her, my people. Alright? Come out of her. Come out from the church system. So the bride gets ready to meet the bridegroom as the bridegroom comes later, because he's on the way. So once he comes in, once the bride leaves the church to meet the groom, they enter into the marriage. Alright? So the friend of the groom will sort of will fade away. No, the attention is no more on the friend of the groom or the messenger. It is now the bride and the bridegroom enter into the marriage. And so we have the marriage. So in the marriage, we call it wedding sometimes. And in wedding, there's always the feast. So we have the wedding, the marriage feast. So in ancient time, you either have 7 days marriage, usually, as I said, in those days. All right? If you are rich, in fact, here is in sometime in the Asia part, where they have rich family, they sometimes can go for many days. All right, so they have all this, you know, music and all the feasting and all the entertainment, and then the bride and bridegroom will always be together. All right, so we enter into the marriage. We can see that the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher is that phase, the second phase of the ministry. All right, so after the marriage and the wedding, the bride and bridegroom enters into the chamber. And in the chamber is when the wife gets ready. Now the Bible says the wife has made herself ready. Not the bride has made herself ready. It's the wife. The wife has made herself ready. Because it is how important it is that a bride can be a bride and never be a wife if she is not faithful. Alright, and yielding submission to the bridegroom. So what we have, you can see, is that the fact is that a man wants to marry a woman, the woman usually must be a virgin. And so in the chamber, the husband will he'll make love to the wife to understand whether she's faithful, whether she's a virgin, and so on and so forth. So after a period of nuptials, in the nuptials, you find that when the husband is satisfied, when the husband is satisfied, the wife is really a wife, then he will give to the wife a new set of clothing, a new set of wedding garment. And I prove this to you because in the first time I preached that message, I didn't know it until God opens my eyes, because I realized in our Asian tradition, the woman in the wedding have two sets of garments. And I think here in Asia this is very common. Huh? One set is that, well, if you're a Christian, you go to church. If you're not a Christian, you don't go to church, you go to the temple. Then in the evening when you have your feast, the woman usually wears red in those days. You don't remember that? In Asia, in Singapore, the Chinese always wears red. So there are two sets of garments. And we find that to be true in the Bible. The Bible said the robe of righteousness. And the Bible in the book of Revelation says the fine linen, clean and white. There are two different kinds of robe. Two different material. One is robe. And the Bible used the word robe as to show us that it is a fine material, but not as fine as the one that is in Revelation. Fine linen, clean and white, that's a superior kind of cloth. You understand? So then when she is ready, the bridegroom will take, or the husband now will say, take the wife back home to his house, where he left from his village to the bride's village to marry her, and then take her back to the father's house and present her to the father. And I said this when Jesus Christ was on earth. After he spent 30 years on earth preparing himself for the ministry, and when he went to the water baptism, the heaven opens up and John saw that the Holy Spirit came down in the form of a dove, and a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased to dwell in." And so the same thing, the bridegroom cries to present the bride, the wife, to the father, and present to the father and says, "Father, this is my beloved wife, in whom I am well pleased." You know. Then Jesus said, "I overcame and sat with my father in his throne. Now my wife have overcome, she will sit with me in my throne." So we see this picture here now. Then if you look at the bottom part, if you look again here, we have 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 16 to 17. What we say is the shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trump. There are three phases. We said the shout is the message. When Brother Abraham came, says, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, come out to meet him." Then we have the voice of the archangel, which is the second phase, which of course entered into the marriage. Okay, hearing the voice of the chief messenger. Archangel means the chief messenger. The word angel, as I already told you, is the word messenger. And that's going through the fivefold ministry: apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Okay, and then the third phase, the trump, is when she will hear the voice of the seven thunders in the nuptial chamber. And that's how important it is right now. Here we are in the second phase. We have to eat the word of God. We have to eat the word of God. Hear the word of God. And make love with our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Spiritual love with him in his word. Do you understand? Huh? So that that our Lord can be satisfied with us, that we are ready, really truly, his wife, making ourselves ready. You understand that? That one day in the cocoon, then in the third place, after the trump comes, then he will speak the word where we will be caught up. Now we look at the second one, the two doors. in which I preached the subject, it's raining. And I set the rain up behind the open doors. Now when the bridegroom, when the messenger came, behold, the bridegroom come out to meet him, we realized that those who are virgin will come out from the system and follow the messenger word, and then move in through the two door, or we said the open door, which we hear in the book of Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. Right? In Revelation chapter 3, the last part of the chapter 3 in the Laodicean church age, the Bible said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Right? Jesus Christ was cast outside the church. Denomination have rejected him. The true word. They want to hold on to their tradition. So Jesus Christ was no longer really in their church. And you know what Brother Branham said, this midnight statement, which is very true. He says, God is not in the church. God is in his word. You get what I'm saying? Do you understand what I mean? People say, oh, God is in our church. Catholic church, Anglican church, God is in our church. No, God is not in the church. God is always in his word. And if the group of believers or any believer that have the word of God, then God is in them. Then while two or three are gathered in his name, in the truth word of God, then God is in that group. Do you understand what I'm saying? So now, chapter 4 then, it says, and John, when he saw the vision, he saw there was a door open in heaven. Is that right? And the boy says, come up hither. So now you know what? You may be on the first phase of the shop. You heard the messenger. Okay, you follow the truth. But you are not entering into a higher level. All you have is, oh, the prophet says this. Oh, Brother Branham says that. But there is a boy that said, come on, higher! The people wanted to stay with the prophet. And the prophet was on earth. And everything he said was on earth. But now we want to get higher to hear the voice that speaks from heaven. Even as the Bible said that. You know. The voice that speaks, come up higher, and I will show you things to come. So we get up higher, so we enter into another door. We came out of a door, that's a church system. Come out of it. We were locked in, we came out. So when we come out of it, now we want to enter into a higher door, a heavenly realm. So we enter into Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. And this is where we are in now. The voice of the archangel. We are in that. And so here we have the rain, the former rain and the latter rain. That's why we have the, in this phase, Revelation 4, 1. We are now in this teaching rain. And that is Joel chapter 2 verse 23. About the rain. So now we have the former rain. The teaching rain. That's all we need to be taught. Because the former rain and the teaching rain is the same word in the Bible. It means, the word means the same in Hebrew. Huh? It's the teaching rain. So, like a farmer, when he planted his crops. You know, as the crop grows up and about time for the harvest, there will come a rain, okay, to boost this plant. And then you wait just a couple of few more days, then you will come out the latter rain and then make this whole grain golden in the field. You know, so we need that. So we have the former rain now. The latter rain is when the bride gets into this cocoon here, we'll say, into the nuptial chamber, which is a secret. And this is the latter rain, when the revival will come. Okay? Now for that, let's have a look at Revelation 10. We have the bride receive the revelation of the seventh seal, enter into the marriage, and eats the open book. Remember Revelation 10? The mighty angel came down with the book open in his hand and John was told to eat. Is that right? And we have to eat it. And that eating is in this second phase of the shout voice of the archangel and the trump. That is the second phase. That's where we eat. Then we come to the last one here. I preach on this. In fact, I think that was probably the first message. Metamorphosis. From glory to glory. The butterfly's metamorphosis. Its life begins here. And I said, it is where we hear the message. Because you know when we are in denomination, we really are dead in the system. We die in tradition. We don't know anything at all. We thought we are alive actually. You know, we just go eat that food. But when the real thing comes, man, you know the difference. Huh? You try to feed a caterpillar that is born on a lemon tree and try to give him the leaf of a lime tree from a lime tree. Huh? He might taste a little funny to him that this lime tree is not what he was born on. But then you give him back this lemon tree, the leaf of the lemon tree that he was born on, and you finally eat it away. And I believe it is true. We are what we eat. And I know many of us here, I think it's, culture, you know, the food that we are eating. If you are born in Singapore, it's okay. But if you are from India, if you live in India all these years, and like a sister, Anita, or Brother Prasi, they usually in Tamil Nadu, they have their Tamil food. That's something you put them over in China. Chinese food, maybe they like it, but sometimes after a while they find that they long for the papadum. The love of their masala. You know, that kind of, you all know that, don't you? And I believe here in Singapore, we are Chinese, we too, we are in Singapore. You know, we live overseas for a while, we find that, we miss our mee pok, chop kway teow. And Zoe says, I want my yuki duck rice. So you know, there is this, you know, your whole base, a certain taste. So I believe that if you are born of the Word of God, our taste will be the true Word of God. You cannot digest anything that is not real food. You know, so the mother, the caterpillar came out of the shell, out of this system, into the truth. And it came out of darkness to light and eat the green in this place. Once you get the message of the messenger, the shell, you want to get into eating the Word of God. Right? So you get in here and you start eating. And you know that the caterpillar. You know how you get, when you swallow the caterpillar, when it grows up, maybe about 1 or 2 millimeter. How do you grow to about, maybe like 4 centimeter long? How do you get to grow to so big? You're not, a caterpillar is not like a human being. A baby grow up, still the same. Baby grow up with this body. But the caterpillar, the caterpillars were morph, metamorphosized. They will. What happened? When it grows big, you have to cast off its shell. And then it comes out very soft. It's a bit longer. Then when you eat again, in morph again. You understand? So that's why we move from glory to glory. So if you have been in this message for 5 years, you should have been already growing 5 inches long. Or inches taller. In the faith. If you have been 10 years in the message, you should have been 10 inches taller in your faith. Or 10 feet, whatever you want to call it. You know what I'm saying? You should move on, that means you should be more spiritual. See? So now, when the caterpillar is eaten, after he's eaten, when he comes to full maturity, he goes into a cocoon. That's right in this phase of the latter rain, the last trump. It is here, where Abraham said this, about the 10 vision. You know, he had the 10 vision. He said that there's a lot of people in this tent. And yet, there is a platform where he saw a little room in there. And he sees all people filling up the tent, and so much so that there were a lot of people outside of the tent waiting to get in. And he said, in a vision, he was looking down and he saw people going into the little room, one end, and came out the other end, and they will make hole. People on a wheelchair going in came out pushing their own wheelchair. People with crutches going in came out without the crutches. And Abraham said, the Spirit says, I will meet you in there. So you see, this last phase, the trunk, is where the latter rain is. It is when what goes on in the little room is a secret. I will meet you in there. And God is going to meet you in the little room. Every one of us. Because when that day it happened, only you will know. Only you will know. You see, when the caterpillar goes into a cocoon, what happened? Huh? You cannot see what's inside. You cannot see what's going on inside. Have you ever studied butterfly? If you don't, experiment with it. Go to the park when you find a little caterpillar, and just cut off the branch and cut off a few more branches, put in water, let it feed until you go into a pupa, a chrysalis or cocoon, whatever you want to call it. And try to look at it when it's in a cocoon, you can't see a thing. The little ugly thing we call worm, some people will call it worm. And some people call it yak. But when it goes into a little cocoon, something miracle, a miracle happens. The little ugly creature, one fine morning, you make its way out the cocoon into a beautiful butterfly. Would you want to hold a caterpillar in your hand? Nobody wants to. But when everybody sees a butterfly in the butterfly part, they want to touch it. They want the butterfly to come. You know, I don't want to touch you. You're all ugly. You know what I'm saying? What about this, that we are going to be beautiful with a beautiful change in the body? Is that right? You get it? So, this is what I'm trying to help you all understand. All these years when I preached, I didn't realize that they're all going to fit in together to see the patterns. Alright, let us continue. Now, go to the book. sorry. Genesis chapter 18. Abraham's calling and how God dealt with him. That's why I want to say this. Of all the people, saints of God mentioned in the Bible, I think Abraham was most important. Not just to the Jew, but also to us. Do you understand? When you look into the life of Abraham, now the way that God wrote his word, he's putting some mystery there. The words are there, but some people don't seem to notice it or don't even realize it. What? It was placed there. If you just turn a little bit forward, four chapters before that, in chapter 14, you know, you look at chapter 14, here we see that this is the battle of the kings. The four northern kings came down to fight against the four northern, the king of Kaidi or Mesopotamia, came down to the area of we call it the Siddim Valley, where this Dead Sea is, to fight against those five kings who rebelled against them, because they refused to pay them tax. So now, you know the story how the battle was going on, and then the Bible said that Lot and his family was in Sodom were taken captive. And you find that over in verse 11. And they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their virtues and went their way. And they took Lot, Abraham's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his good and departed. And there came one that had escaped and told Abraham the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mari, the Amorites, the Amorite, brother of Ashkod, and brother of Ani, these and these were confederate with Abraham. Now, we probably read it, we don't think much, but look at here. He said that there came one that escaped and told Abraham the Hebrew. Why did the Bible suddenly the Moses decided to put the word the Hebrew? Abraham, the Hebrew. Now this is the first time the word Hebrew appeared here. First time. Why? Why did God have Moses put in there? The thing is this, is that here we know that the word Hebrew means one from the other side. One from across the river Euphrates, who came across the river Euphrates to Canaan. So people who came from over there are called Hebrew. And yet the Hebrew word means, of course in English we say, a person passing over, or Passover. He's a Passover, one who passed over that side to this side. Okay, but yet the word Hebrew is a word played. The Hebrew word for Hebrew is Ibri. Ibri is God used as a patronym, a word that he used to point Abraham as a patriarch. Huh? You understand? So used as a patronym, as a word, to become a name. Now, very strange, we have so many people coming from that side. But yet, God put this word, Abraham, the Hebrew. And we know that by God showing this, we realize one thing. Abraham had Ishmael, right? But Ishmael was never a Hebrew. Do you understand? Ishmael people became Arabic. They speak Arabic. But today we find that the people who speak Hebrew, the Hebrew language became a dead language after the children of Israel were taken captive, they came back. And then after that, in 70 AD, they were dispersed. It was not a language spoken hardly at all. But when the children of Israel came back to Israel, to Canaan, in 1948, the language revived. And it's called Israelite? Israel? No. It's called Hebrew. We Chinese speak Chinese. We Indians speak Indian. We English speak English. Right? But the Israelites or Israelis today, they speak Hebrew. Because they are Hebrew. And Hebrew speaks Hebrew. It points to Abraham as the one was chosen. And he descended, the seed must be Hebrew, not Arab. See how the word God put it there for us to see. So sometimes when we don't notice this sort of a thing. So in chapter 18, now why God detailed his life, Abraham's life, so in such a way that want to make us to really see. Here is a secret about Abraham. Because he was the father of the faith. God called him as a chosen people because God wants to make a covenant with him. And that covenant is not the old covenant. Remember that. Because there was no other covenant. Okay? That God made with Abraham, this covenant was a covenant in blood. Do you understand? What is the old covenant? I ask you the old covenant. Yeah, we have two covenants in the Bible. The Old and New, two Testament, Old Testament, Old New Testament. What is the Testament? Is covenant. So what is the Old Covenant? What is the Old Testament? So what is the New Testament? Yeah. We know that Old Testament is the law, and New Testament is grace. We know all simply like that. Yeah. But you know that the covenant God made with Abraham is about the blood. Is that right? And who fulfilled that? Jesus Christ fulfilled it. But when he fulfilled it, he called it a new covenant. But it has nothing to do with the law. You understand? Huh? The covenant of the law is the covenant of the law. The covenant of grace is the covenant of blood. That's why Abraham was never given the law. Abraham was given grace to begin with. You understand? So that's why I asked the question before last time. I said, what comes first? Law or grace? People say, oh, law came first. No. It was always grace. But when the children of Israel despised that grace of God and refused to hear him and they were afraid of him and all this rebel against him, then God had to give them the law. Huh? And the law was to serve for a time until that grace which God promised, the covenant which God promised Abraham, will be fulfilled in Christ Jesus. Because when God sent Christ Jesus, he was sending grace to the children of Israel. So in chapter 18, I want you to notice this here. You know how that God had promised Abraham a son. Is that right? Okay, promise him a son. What age was he? 75 years old. How old was Sarai? How old was Sarai? Come on. If Abraham was 75, how old was Sarai? How many body? Anybody knows the answer? Come on. Oh, there's a difference between Abraham and Sarai is 10 years old different. They are 10 years different in age. So Abraham is 75, Sarai must be 65. Now, she's not an old woman, huh? Because in those years, in those days of their life, they can live up to 180. By the time of Moses came, 120. And that's when people today can live up to 120. But which many of us can't. Most people die. Well, in many countries, people don't even live up to 50 years old. But you know, in Japan, as you all know, they can live up to more than 100. Right? We're supposed to reach up to 120. But no, the whole world is polluted, the whole planet is destroyed by greedy entrepreneurs. All they want to know is making money. What are you going to do? The whole world is sick. The whole planet is sick. And the whole earth is prevailing to be released from all this trouble. So 65 years old and 75 years old, they were not old age. They were supposed to be something like 40 years old, right? Would it not be? Because the middle age of that time will be 90 years old. Is it not so? Yeah. They're only 65, 75. They are not too old. You understand what I'm saying? It should be, if it is compared to today, they're probably about 45, 50 years old. Huh? Now, 45, 50 years old, Sarah, at that time, a 65, was not yet an old woman. She was pretty. So much so that the Pharaoh wants to marry her. Remember? Is that so? Sure. Today, any man want to marry a 65-year-old woman? Any man want to marry a 65-year-old woman? Nobody, because 65-year-old, this age now is already old. But so, 1 year passed, 2 years passed, and so on, until what? Huh? It doesn't magic. Until 99 years old. But well, at the age of, your mother's 13 from 100. What age is that? Your mother's 13 from 100 is 87 years old. Yeah, 87 years old. So when Abraham was 87, Sarah was 77, right? Now, Sarah was already worried. When she was 76, she already realized she's going away, and asked Abraham to take Hagar for a concubine, to bring forth the promised son, as she will believe. You know. Well, until I deny Abraham, until it denies Sarai, and God says, Abraham, you no longer will be called Abraham, but you shall be called Abraham. Your wife is no longer Sarah, but the mother of nations, Sarah. You know, you're already old now. You already reached past middle age, isn't it so? Already dried up completely. And God was testing Abraham against Sarah. I couldn't be bothered anymore. After she's old, take Hagar. That's it. But God was dealing not with Sarah. He was dealing with Abraham. Whether how much faith he had. From 75 years old, when God called him, he was going around telling everybody, I'm going to be a father. You know. Well, he did all the best you know how to try to get Sarah pregnant. And you know, every time that nothing happens, Sarah probably said, see, nothing's happening. You said your God is going to give you a son. Huh? Maybe you're just dreaming too much. You know, sometimes you don't get all these things to come your way. But Abraham says, no, I believe. So one year after another. And the servant are all watching. And the public servant are all whispering. Huh? Our Lord, they will call Abraham Lord. You know, our master said he's going to be a father. Oh, I wish that he would look at our man, you know, somebody called that. Look at Sarah, he's feeling so sad. You don't know what's going on. Abraham came on, he said, yes, I'm going to be a father. Until when he comes to almost 24 years, almost dried up in Sarah's life. I mean, Moses has no problem. I mean, Abraham has no problem. Because the man. But the woman's egg are all dried up. And then God spoke to him. This time next year, in the season of life, I will visit you. Now, you know, Sarai couldn't believe, of course, she laughed behind the tent. And God heard that. You know, that is what we call that you cannot hide from God. Why did God allow this little bit to be put into the Bible? What is Sarah love? Sarah said, no, I didn't love. Oh, I know you love. Because God knows the secrets of man's heart. You cannot run away from God. Whether you are in the valley or in the mountain, in the cave, whatever you may be, God is there. And in this last century, God sent the prophet brother Abraham to give out the sign of the Messiah, knowing the secrets of man's heart. Remember? Huh? What else do we want? And this is what God wants us to see in Abraham's life. And the next day, the body began to change. The word spoken immediately had an effect. Next morning, wake up. Oh, Sarah feels a little bit stronger. Abraham feels it. I'm a bit stronger. Second day, third day, getting stronger. Things began to happen. The body began to change. Now, how many different denominations recognize this? Completely began to change. Sarah looks skin becomes smoother, younger. Abraham probably walked a little bit more straighter than before. And what happened? Within the next 2 to 3 months, Sarah conceived. You know that, don't you? But before she conceived, they walked through the land that belongs to Abimelech. Abimelech wanted her for wife. Right Now she's about 90 years old. To take her for wife. No, I don't think a man wants to take a woman 65. This one, 90 years old. I think Pharaoh must be meant to take a woman who is 65 years old. Now Abimelech must even be madder. Correct? To marry one who is 90. But what's the problem here is because Sarai was changed. And God had to change her to bear forth the son. And I said this many times, to bring forth the promised son. And if the church of God is not perfected and strengthened in the word of God, then we cannot be a wife make ready. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's just like a caterpillar. The caterpillar, they eat and eat and eat and eat. Until the time the body will say, stop. Now I am changing into a beautiful butterfly. If the caterpillar do not have enough food to eat, it will die. You all have heard about the proverb that says, well, what do you call that? I don't know why they call that. Anyway, they ask a question. Why did the chicken cross the road? You heard about that? Tell me, anybody know why the chicken crossed the road? What are them? If you talk about chicken, we always talk about kitchen. You know, why did the chicken cross the road? Anybody know the answer? All the answer is, because over there outside. Of course, when it grows on the ground, over the other side, that's obvious. But do you know, I tried an experiment with that caterpillar. I have two caterpillars that I brought. I plug it off from thick wire, you know, that's where the time. One day we came back, the whole trees up there were filled with caterpillars. We couldn't believe it. So I cut down two branches and there were two caterpillars on it. I brought it home and they were quite big size already. Put in the water, put it near the window. Every day I watched it, it came out eating up and down. Until 2 days, less than 2 days later, there were no more leaves on the branch. And I just watched what happened to the caterpillar. It goes up and it came down. It goes up and one of them stood at the top of it, jump out the window. Why did the caterpillar jump out the window? To go find whether there's food on the other side. Or downstairs, whatever. You see, a caterpillar without food, without the leaf, they know they're going to die. Experiment, try it. It's desperate. He knows he needs the leaf of the plant to eat. Or you die. That's what it is. So what about us? That's why I say how important it is. Revelation 10. Eat the little book. Eat the little book. Because that is life. So now, we realize here. You see here in chapter 18 of this. All we are talking about is God had to come down with the messenger, with the two angels, right? And then speak the word. And you find this in chapter 18, verse 9 onwards. And they said unto him, where is Sarai thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, now, God wants to make sure that Sarai hears what he has to say, right? Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, it's important for her to hear too. Because of course, you need to have a spoken word spoken to her. And God said, I will suddenly return unto you according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent, which was behind him. I said, she laughed. The Bible laughed a little bit. Thank you, Lord, to get a baby. Why did Sarah laugh? God want her to hear. Because after all, Abraham had been holding to the faith. For how many years? For 24 years, holding to that faith. you see. And God is now making it happen. So the word must be spoken. That's what I'm saying. The word must be spoken. Yes. You know why it is so important? Because there are four facts here. When God speak that to Abraham and Sarah, the physical body will change. First of all, it must be renewed. That's number one. The body must be renewed. Two, the body must be regenerated. Seems that it's the same. Well, there's something different. Three, it must be revived. I mean, if there is no renewal inside, there is no regeneration of the body, you cannot be revived. You know what I mean when you see a tree that is dying, huh? How do you renew? How do you regenerate? How can it be revived and put up its leaves like this, not hanging down? If the Bible says, lift up your hand that is drooping, lift it up! How can you lift it up when you have no strength? See? So when the plant is now, when it is revived, it is a resurrection. So that's the fourth fact. Now you're already resurrected. We need a renewal. We need a regeneration. We need a revival. And then we will have our resurrection. Say that. So that's why it's so important. Let's go now, see, to Isaiah chapter 7:14. Isaiah chapter 7:14. I think that throughout Israel, in those days, Virginia heard this very often in the synagogue. When this scroll of Isaiah was opened up and read by the rabbi or one of the students, Isaiah 7 verse 14, therefore the Lord, or verse 13 we read, and he said, hear ye now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary man? But will you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. You got it? Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. You know, I think a lot of virgins in Israel heard that, and I believe many of them said, I wish it must be me. I hope it's me, that God chose me. You know what I'm saying? Don't you agree that a lot of them will say, well, I hope it's me, you know. You see, when there's a lot of prophecy about certain things, people will wish, it's me, I hope. No doubt, no matter how the virgin believed. Maybe she believed that she might be her, and every day she look at her tummy, whether she's going to grow big or not, supernaturally. You know what I mean? It's not going to work that way. Why? Because there must come the spoken word. Because we already have an example years before. And that's in Abraham and Sarah. Sarah cannot conceive until the body is changed. But the body cannot change until there is the spoken word spoken to renew life. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Is that right? There must be a word that is spoken. When God says, let there be light, there was light. Let us say, God says, let there be an oak tree. I almost said an acorn tree. Let there be an oak tree. There were oak trees. Let there be pineapple tree. Apple tree. And you will bring forth. Do you understand what I'm saying? If there is no spoken word, the light cannot come forth. And what did the Bible say? Which Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And He was the Word of God made manifest. Do you understand what I'm saying? All life comes by the Word. Without the Word, there is no life. That's what Brother Bob said. How can we have faith for the rapture when you don't even have faith for healing? That's the reason why he believes that just wait and see. You need to hear the voice of those tongues. Something must be spoken to give us that life, a change. And I'm waiting for it. I'm waiting for it. But in the meantime, while I'm waiting, I'm getting into the Word. I'm eating the Word of God. And you're going to hear. You see. So that's why later in the book of Luke chapter 11, Luke chapter 1. And here in chapter 1, verse 38. Here we have chapter 1, we can read from verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Remember, he says the angel Gabriel means the messenger Gabriel. You understand? Okay? To a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. See, I guess when a man and virgin just waiting, maybe it's me, always Israel. But only God sent to this angel, messenger, Gabriel. And in order, the Bible always called angels or the messenger as men, or the man Gabriel. So Gabriel came to Mary, and the angel said, came in unto her and said, Hail thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. You know, you are highly favored. And I believe that I think many of us should wanted to seek to be favored by God. You know, Mary must be a woman who spent all her time with God. You can see that to be true. Mary's life. Even in the other Mary, Mary and Martha's life. Compare Mary to Martha. Mary is different from Martha. Mary will learn to sit and listen to the word. So this Mary perhaps have no exception. Okay, so a highly favored among women. And she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast at her mind, what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow you. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. Now, the cousin, Elizabeth, okay? She was an old woman, already barren, cannot give birth, dried up. And yet she is also conceiving. Who was that son? What's the name of Elizabeth's son? John the Baptist. So is anything too hard to get? You are all walking like this. Huh? Sometimes you are all looking like this. You know how you can see the thing. Now my eyesight is troubling me also. Is anything too hard for God? If you have no eyes, is anything hard for God to put eyes on it? If God can make the impossible out of raising the dead, it is nothing but a small thing when you have no arms that the arm can grow out. Huh? Think about it. Cripples are born of palsy. You know what is palsy? Those who are born of polio, with polio, you know? You know how polio people are, they have no muscle, everything, you know, like this. Then one of these days, all the family muscle like these can become normal. Is it too hard for the Lord to change the body? People say, I know that the devil rises up, but is it too hard for God to put eyes if you have no eyes? You have no legs. Is it too hard for God to put legs on you? People say, no, we're not going to see that. We're going to be in the tree. No, I'm going to go up like this. Let me tell you, there must be a revival. That's why I say, first, there must be a renewal. A regeneration. Then a revival. Then a resurrection. These four things must be there. See? That's why what did God send a message? To get us back into the Word. Because why? The church is sick. Following tradition. Doctrines of devils, seducing spirits. Terrible, isn't it? Why do people believe in that? As you know why we cannot be sick. The church of God cannot be sick spiritually. Just believe. Oh, I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. Go to church. What do you know? The Catholic have your form of worship. Throwing holy waters and the sign of the cross and praying to the saints and all that thing. And like what Brother Infant say, oh, the mother of God. What mother of God? Or God the mother. Okay. Now I say how true that is. Remember years ago I said that, you know, if you want to take the Bible, you can prove the Bible and show that there are five gods. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Right? God the Mother. Mary the Mother of God. Huh? God the Mother. And one more, what is that? God the Grandfather. If you read over that, you don't remember. I told you this already, you've forgotten. Go to the book of Revelation, you read it. If you don't read it, if you don't read it the way the scripture said it, if you read it with a cocky eye, a slanted eyes, then you will see me, God the Grandfather. Because it says so. If you read it like it, it looks like it. Huh? You see how the people are with all their ideas. So that's why, how can we be eating all that junk? And be strengthened. Eat junk food and see what happened to your body. Eat hamburger every day. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Eat all this modern curry every day. See what happened to your body. We must give a balanced diet. And there's a denomination. Some that don't care about doctrine. Some don't care about prophecy. Some don't care about this and that. They say, oh, I believe in Jesus' salvation. Do you know there are many parts in the Bible? Huh? Soteriology, eschatology, prophecy, huh? Doctrine. Everything in the Bible must keep a balance. Because this is not important, that is not important. Well, you see one thing about it, people eat food. You think vegetable is not important? Don't eat vegetable then. See what happened to your body. Huh? We need it. We need multivitamins. Some people don't realize, think, oh, we don't need vitamins. Multivitamins isn't a food. But when you're under stress, you need it more. You understand this? So we got to get into the Word of God. Eat the food that is life. And so, let's go on with it. And where are we? Verse 37. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold the man, handmaiden of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. She wondered how could it be. And angel explained to her how it would happen. The Holy Spirit will come over you. Overshadow you. And this is what's going to happen. If the Holy Spirit overshadow us, the body will change. When the word is spoken on that particular time, something is going to change. Because it is the Holy Spirit that works in our life. Look at verse 20. Here we have this Zechariah. You know, in verse 19, it's Zechariah anyway, and angel said in verse 13, fear not, Zechariah, for thy people is, your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name John, and you shall have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall be turned to the Lord their God. And he shall go forth before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the father to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zechariah said to the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife are stricken in years. So you see, I'm an old man already. My wife already stricken, barren, nothing, menopause over, dried up, nothing. There's no excitement anymore in life. What else? We all run up. And the angel said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of the Lord, and I'm sent to speak unto you and to show you thee these great things. Behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believe not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. You don't believe, then you'll be dumb. And I think it might be quite true for most of us in the end time. A lot of people say, I don't believe this, I don't believe that, and I don't believe in this. And if the word is truth, how can you not believe it? And like people say, but again, you know, you should grow a beard. If you don't believe in what I say, to grow a beard, you'll be dumb. You think that will happen? Because there's no first place, there's nothing, no revelation about it. You see, we have the book of God, we have the word of God, we have this word, and we need to follow the revelation of the word. So until the word is spoken, we will not have anything. Now, like I said last week, regarding the book of Zechariah, chapter 3, and chapter 4. You know, these stones that was before Joshua, just one stone. Stone number represents a revelation. You all know that, don't you? Right? When Jesus says to the other disciples, who do men say I, the Son of Man, am? Or some of Jeremiah, some of Daniel, this and that. But who do you say I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, upon this rock, I'll build my church. Upon this stone, the rock is a big stone, then an ordinary stone. You understand what I'm saying? Upon this rock, the revelation, I will build my church. And the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. And so in Zechariah chapter 3, 8 to 9. And also, well, we go back to that in case we forget. All right. Chapter 3, verse 8 to 9. O Joshua the high priest, thou and thy fellow that sits before thee, for they are men wandered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch. I will bring forth my servant, the branch. Who is that? That's Christ. I'll bring him back. I'll bring him forth. For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua, upon one stone, upon the one stone shall be 7 eyes. Behold, I will engrave the engraving thereof, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of the land in one day. Now you see here that this particular stone you're talking about is a revelation. But every has 7 eyes. God always works with 7. 7 churches, 7 spirits before the throne, the 7 angels, and so on. And so this is the final revelation, the one stone. Huh? And that's why over in chapter 4, we understand that that 7 eyes represents what? You can see over in chapter 4. That in verse 10 onward. Huh? Who have despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice, shall see the prumet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those 7. The prumet, you know what a prumet is? The plumb line. Zerubbabel, not Joshua. Zerubbabel represents Christ as the administrator. Joshua represents Christ as the high priest. Now that is what we have in the church. Christ is our high priest. He's still interceding for us. Do you understand? He is the Zerubbabel. He is the administrator, the prophet of prophets, the apostle of apostles. He is administrating the word in the plumb line. You know what a plumb line is for when you come to building constructing a building? To get everything correct. And right now he is here. That's why we are in the second phase. Dividing the word. That the bread may be fed right. However, there are a lot of people that go in all directions with the wind. Then he answered, verse 11. Answered I and said unto him, what are these 2 olive trees? Upon the right side the candlestick, and upon the left side. And I answered again and said unto him, what be those 2 olive branches which through the 2 golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? And he answered and said, knowest thou not this be? And I said, no, my Lord. So these are the 2 another ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. This is what we see in the last day. We have the 7 golden candlesticks. They have been fed by the olive trees. The covenant of God. The 2 books of God, the Old and New Testament. But there are 2 prophets as well. So once the church is over, these 2 olive trees will become the anointed one. They will be back to Israel. But the 7 candlesticks are for us. They are the 7, as he says here, the prumet in the hands of Zerubbabel with those 7. Those 7. There are 7 of them. 7 angels, they're going to walk with 7 faces. And you'll come the last day in their triumph. Now you know what I'm saying is about his experience with the spoken word. Huh? 5 times he experienced it, as you all know it. But I want you to look at what he said here in this, so that at least we have an understanding of what he really said. I'm talking about, you know, I'm taking the quote, yes, of Brother Bram. But I want you to see what he said. Because a lot of time people take his quote not knowing what he was trying to impart to the people. Alright? Now, here are some quotes of what Brother Graham said concerning the 7 seal and the 7 thunder. Now let us look at what he said. Whether all that we have studied according to the scripture and looking at his quote, whether does it tally with what we are looking at? You understand what I'm saying? If we take his quote, what he said, and not look into the Bible and try to figure that out, we are not getting anywhere. Because you will have to have the word of God that makes sense. You know, not what Brother Branham said. It's what the word said that makes sense. So anybody say anything that is right, it will make sense because the word will testify to it. Do you know what I'm saying? If somebody come and tell you, oh, God is a five, or there is a mother of God, how are you going to prove on scripture? You're going to look at the scripture and see whether it makes sense. If it doesn't, it isn't the truth. So, sir, what is the time? And cry with a loud voice, as when the lion roared, when he cried, some of them uttered their voices. Watch, Revelation 10:4. And when the seven thunder had uttered their voices, I was about to write. That was something said. It just wasn't a noise. Something was said. He was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me. Look where the voices were. In the thunders. Not in heaven, on earth. The thunders never uttered from the heavens. They uttered from the earth. I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunder uttered, and write them not. These seven thunders' voices is the only thing that stuck to the book that's not revealed. It's not even written in the book. Make sense? Correct, isn't it? Huh? It's not a noise. It's something that was said. Okay? And when the seventh thunder had uttered their voices and was about to write, I heard the voice from heaven say unto me, seal those things which the seventh thunders uttered, and write them not. Now, that's what we don't know. That's yet to be revealed. It's not in the Holy Script what them thunders say. So if it's not in the Holy Bible, how can this friend of mine are saying that this is what it is, this is what it is, when we know there's nothing said that was written here? It was heard by John. They uttered the voice, the thunder uttered the voices, but John heard it. He wants to write. God says, don't write it. So if it's not written, how can you know what is written when it's not there? How can you know what is what you said when it's not even written? So those are people who said, it is this, they are liars. That they are the seven virtues of Christ, that they are the seals when they open, they are liars. Oh, but Brother Branham said so. You need to understand what Brother Branham was speaking to and how he spoke. You know. Alright, the first seal. Now the Brother Branham said for the first seal book. Then there's coming forth seven mysterious thunders. They're not even written at all. That's right. And I believe that through those seven thunders will be revealed in the last day in order to get the bride together for rapturing faith. Because what we got right now, we wouldn't even be able to do it. There is something that has got to step forward. For we can't have enough faith for divine healing, honey. We have got to have enough faith to be changed in a moment to be swept up out of this earth. Do you understand? We need to have that before we can be taken away mid here. There has got to be something to change this church. You know that. Second seal, God help our unbelief. Take it away from us, Lord. We want to receive rapturing grace. We want to be able, when that mysterious thunder out yonder, we want to be ready to receive it. Lord, grant it. Are you going to be ready? Third seal, the bride hasn't had the revival yet. And this was very true. There hasn't been no revival, no manifestation of God to stir the bride yet. See, people think all those revivals, they are only for those people outside in the world. Do you understand? Brother Branham's campaign, crusade, are all for the sinners to come to the gospel. That's why he performed this miracle through God's power. Is that right? But not for the bride. The bride's revival is different from the revival of those who need faith to be healed, those blind to see, and those lame to walk. But the bride needs something more than that. It is a faith that will take and change her for the going home, for the rapturing faith. We are looking for it. It will take those seven unknown thunders back there to wake her up again. He will send it. He promised it. That's the reason why we need that faith to stir us up. Everybody said, I got faith to go rapture. How is it going to happen? Something got to stir you up to get you changed. Force you. Wait till the seven thunder utter their voices to the group who really can take the word of God and hand it them. Now, this is why Abraham said, Abraham might say, you know, one of these days I got this power, spoken word, I'll speak squirrel and I'll speak this. Everybody think they're going to do that. Huh? You know what? That's what being taught. Because Barabbas spoke 3 times for the squirrel to appear. Because God told him to speak. God told him to speak to the dead fish. You know, and give it life. And he did. But people think that all because Barabbas had it, they're going to have it because he said so. And people start deposing, you know, I'm a believer, I'm going to speak squirrel, I'm going to speak this. And the other guy says, oh, you want to speak squirrel, I'll speak elephant. Then what else? And somebody else, I'll speak dinosaur. You know, all this crazy idea that they have. Someone steal. Now, what this great secret is that lies, that lays beneath this seal? I do not know. I don't know it. So he doesn't even know. He honestly says, I don't know. I couldn't make it out. I couldn't tell it just what it said. But I know that there it was them 7 thunders uttering together, right close together, just banging 7 different times. Now he says, utter, huh? Utter. Then he said, banging. 7 times. People think, oh, that's what happened over there when he was in Sabino Canyon. You know? Well, I'm just demonstrating. People get all confused. The Bible says thunders. But they utter their voice. So thunder, you know what thunder is, isn't it? You know what thunder is? A thunder is not a voice. A thunder is a rumbling. That's what a thunder is. But a voice is a voice. So when the thunder utters their voice, it means the thunder is a representation of something. It's not a rumbling. It's not thunder thundering. So if people cannot even understand the symbol, you know, metaphor or simile and all these, don't seem to understand those, then something is lost. Just bang some time together and it's unfolding to something else that I've seen. Then when I've seen that, I looked for the interpretation that flew across there and I couldn't make it out. That's exactly right. See, the hour isn't quite yet for it, but it's moving into that cycle. See, it's coming up close. So the thing for you to do is remember that I speak to you in the name of the Lord. Be prepared. For you don't know what time something can happen. I'm only telling you what I have seen. And what has been told to me. And you do whatever you want to. I don't know. What is going on to take place? I do not know. I just know that those seven thunder hold that mystery. That heaven was quiet. Everybody understand? He's asking that question. Everybody said, yes, yes. That's what Barabbas said. Everybody said, yes. Remember one time I told you, after so many years, Barabbas said, do you understand what I'm telling you? They said, yeah, amen. Barabbas said, no, you don't. Yeah, you know what they don't? Because they have a great prophet in the church that they go to. And they think that it's everything they think about Brother Branham. Instead of listening to what the Spirit of God says, they look at the man, they hear what the man says, but they're not listening to what the Spirit of God says. Exactly. What when Jesus asked the Pharisees, what you are for to see? A man shaking with the wind? Who is that man? John the Baptist. He's asking these Pharisees. What do you go and out to see? A reed shaking with the wind? Who is that man? They hear him. They heard John the Baptist preach. But do they believe his word? No. People say, oh, he's a great prophet. Every time. One of the mysteries of that seal, the reason it wasn't revealed, it was seven thunder, they uttered their voices, and that, now you see here, one of the mysteries of that seal, that seventh seal holds threefold. That's the reason why the seventh seal has to do with the shout, the voice, and the trump. In another problem, another problem said also, I'll show you a mystery, he said, one part. So the one of this mystery of that seal, the reason it wasn't revealed, it was seven thunder, they uttered their voices, and that is perfectly because nothing knows anything about it. It wasn't even written. Now, do you notice on the opening of this seventh seal? It also in the threefold mystery. You see that threefold? This one I have spoken. That it is a mystery of the seven thunders. That's what it is. It said a few verses right before that. Remember? Just go down here. You see here? No, just go down to just on previously. Yeah. You see what he says? One of the mysteries of that seal. The reason it wasn't revealed, it was seven thunder, they uttered their voices. This is what he's talking about. Now go up. Now, do you notice on the opening of seven seals, it also is the threefold mystery. This one I have spoken, that it is the mystery of the seventh time. That's the reason why one fold only. Say there are threefold. You know that, don't you? So one fold is to do with the seven thunders. So if the seven thunder is one fold, what is the other two? No problem saying he imparted the hidden one. He doesn't detail everything because God wants him to say only what he needed to say. The rest is for the Spirit of God to take over in the fivefold ministry. Because that is the way God said already, that the fivefold ministry will perfect the bride. That's the way. Alright, so it is. The seven thunders in heaven will unfold this mystery. It will be right at the coming of Christ, because Christ said no one knew when he will return. That is exactly because in the last trump, only the dead in Christ will rise, and which we as are alive will be gathered together with them to meet the Lord in the end. Nobody knows when he's coming, but there will be some voices of this thunder that will reveal the great revelation at that time. So I believe, if you don't know it, and it won't be known till that time, it will be revealed in that day, in that hour that it should be revealed in. So the thing for you to do is to be reverent before God and serve Him and do all we know how to do and live good Christian life. Now, we find that the sixth seal has been opened to us. We see it, and we know that this seventh seal cannot be opened to the public until the hour arrives. Because the seventh seal deals mainly with the rapture. You understand? Alright. So, now, there was some reason that God let these summoned voices be thundered, because it must come. Sitting in my room and I heard this, not heard it rather, but seen it unfold to these seven thunders. Now, they're as far as we can go, right there. Man that can turn on the light from the sermon. There's nothing can give you life, but the spoken word of God. It's the only way that life can come is through His spoken word. Life in any form. Salvation. Healing. Rapturing. Must all come by the spoken word. Because it will create a revival. A renewal. A regeneration. A revival. And a resurrection. You understand that? God bless you. Heavenly Father, we thank you now. Thank you for your word. Take it further, Lord, and break it down to the needs of those who hear, Lord, and learn. And I ask for your blessing upon them too, Lord. We thank you for this day now. Bless the rest of the day, we ask in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.